This is a podcast from Seven Church, Bristol.
This is so fun. Out of my journal, we just got back from France. Just saying. I'm half French, so it was good to be back after 14 years. And just now, out of my little journal, dropped this little thing that I picked up from the Thoronet Abbey in Provence area, down in the Verdon, which is where we were. And we went there 14 years ago on our 25th anniversary trip. And Phil took us to this ancient abbey, where it's all been restored, with that you just could feel the prayers of the saints coming out the walls at you, you know, that kind of place. And being a little Celtic soul, I was resonating with all sorts of shenanigans. Oh, it was marvellous. But in the actual chapel part itself, they have these, it's sort of built with these alcoves in that you could stand in one alcove and sing a note and it would give an echo in another alcove. And like my brain went, no way. And we saw a sort of a guide lady was giving a demonstration in French to a group of people there who prayed for the tour. And she was sort of just singing a little bit of ancient French chanting stuff. It's marvellous. And I thought, all that, all those years ago, 1,000 years ago, they didn't need all the technology. They had no problems with feedback and foldback and all the stuff of RPA team nightmare that goes on in our modern buildings. They just knew how to, the acoustics were incredible. And I remember standing there at the back saying to Phil, oh, I'd love to come and just sing one note and see what happens and see if I can harmonise with myself in the echoey chamber. Anyway, but 14 years later, we actually visited this abbey again. We were staying in the area, finally got there. So we went there and we went into the chapel and there was no one in there. And I'm like, oh, yes. So I like nipped to the front and I thought, I'm going to sing Amazing Grace. So I just sang it really slowly and you barely sing and it's amplified. It was stunning. So I just sang one verse of Amazing Grace and I thought, oh, my work here is done. And then we sort of strolled out and there was this sign at the side of the door that said, singing is prohibited in the chapel. And I'm like, oh, oops, sorry about that. I'm so sorry, but it was worth it. So a 14-year ambition was realised last week in France. Am I a happy bunny? Oh, yes. That was such a joy-giving thing for me. Surprisingly, a joy-giving thing for me. And isn't that the nature of joy? Somehow it creeps up on you and bites you on the nose. It creeps up on you. And you know when you can be a bit intense, life's hard. You know, I've gone through quite a few years of chronic illness and really kind of difficult mental health collapse and all kinds of things from a background of trauma and abuse. And sometimes joy just comes along, you know, in the times when you're really feeling exhausted, the world's on fire and you've had a diagnosis you're not all that content about. And it's like joy comes up to you and just goes, boop. We do that to our dog. Do you do that to your kids? We do it to our dog. I mean, it's just the most perfect moment that in spite of all the intensity of everything, joy comes up and gives you a boop, a nose boop. And you're like, that's absurd. That's what? That's meaningless. That's like, it's frivolous. It's nothing. It's hysterical. Or it's just utterly, utterly beautiful. And it disrupts that inevitability of the kind of relentless maintenance of surviving life. You know, the joy comes and gives you that nose boop. And that has been my discovery of the last few years. So I've just, when Claire gave me permission to come and just chat and tell some stories this morning, you didn't know that you gave me that permission, did you? I'm like, there's so much to say, so much I could say. I've always got far too much to say. But the really interesting thing is, from being a person who grew up thinking, don't feel, don't speak, don't feel, don't speak, because it was never safe to do so. The Lord has brought me through this ambling journey of recovery and restoration and rebuilding in my own life that now I can genuinely stand and say, I've got something to say. I've got something to say. That's all the validation we need, is that each of us is a creative, created being whose stories matter. And the stories of your lives are stories worth telling. And it seems to me that the richest creativity, the best thinking, the most innovative ideas come out of quite pressing, crushing moments in time, in our stories. I don't know why that is. I just know it kind of is. And so today my ramblings are entitled "A Spark in the Dark." In other words, may we find the courage to let joy sit right up close to mystery. May we find the courage to let joy sit right up close to mystery. When we finally can make peace with the paradoxes of life, that it is joy and pain together, that really is the deal, that there is hilarious stuff in our lives, even though there may be potentially threatening things in our lives all the time. We're all living with something that is hard to carry. It might just be financial debt, like you were saying. How hard to carry is that? Or loss, or powerlessness of some sort. We're all carrying something. But may we find that courage that lets joy sit right up close to mystery, that when you get the old nose boop, that's like, it's okay to be hysterically laughing, even though you were crying a minute before. The one doesn't invalidate the other. In fact, we need it all the more to be able to navigate the difficult, hard, holy life that the path leads us on. So my dark night, I have had one of those, few of those dark night of the soul moments. I'm sure if you can relate, because I've had quite a tricky beginning in my own life, very cruel upbringing. But that seemed to, I thought it was normal at the time, didn't really bother me. Or at least I didn't think it did. I just, you know, kind of get used to managing it, pushing on down. I'm a happy bunny, really. I'm all fine. Oh, one of my very first little boops from the Lord was actually, I met Jesus. I didn't mean to. I was just outside the loos in the village hall, and I was on this little quest to find out, a couple of things. One, is God real? Is he nice? And does he like me? Because those are three different things. You know, you could have each one individually, but does he actually like me? Oh, I'm not sure, because nobody's, in my world, I didn't feel like anybody did. And so I can remember on a sort of my exploring all different kind of faith traditions and thinking, oh, you don't go and find him anywhere. And as a last resort, when it was the summer holidays, just left school with my A-levels, my family had just left home, and I... and so I wandered into the village hall. A neighbour across the road said, oh, you should go to this place. You might like the music. And being a musician, I thought, well, that's a good start. Walked in, and it was all quiet. It was like the foyer bit in a traditional little village hall in Essex. And then everybody was in the main room. And there were the formal huggers on the door. But I hadn't got that far. I was just by the bit where the loos are. And I walked in all on my own. And I thought, oh, you're here. And it's as if Jesus was there, but he wasn't. I mean, I didn't see, I couldn't tell you what he looked like, but I just knew he was there. And it wasn't weird. It felt like the most normal thing in the world. And yet this was something I had never, ever experienced. My background is not, my parents are not of faith or any sort of, quite the opposite. I always used to say to mother, it's her worldliness. It drove me to faith. It's her own fault. But I just knew that I knew that Jesus was here. And my very first breath was like, oh, I'm home. Oh, that, I didn't expect that. I didn't know it was going to feel like that. Anyway, I wandered in and, I got the hugs. Yes, I love this hug thing that was going on. And by the second week, I was on the worship team. Do you know, they didn't even check to see if I was a Christian. I don't think they did in those days. Anyway, so there we are. But that was... that's a spark in my dark. At that time, my world was very, very dark and broken and wounded beyond description, even though I didn't quite realise the vastness of the impact it was going to have on my life going forward at 18. But that kindness of Jesus just to reveal something of him to me that I could always know I'm home when I see him. And the world can still fall down and still break and I'm still wounded, but I know him. And that's all I've got. That's all I've got. I just know him. I've been through the theological, I've been everywhere. I love to read and deep dive into every kind of stuff, and it's fascinating. But I just keep coming home to Jesus. I can't get away from him. I cannot get away. He is my one beautiful spark that animates me, that helps me to reimagine him. He kind of reanimate, is that the word? I suppose that's what being born again is, isn't it? Another word. Except he does it again and again and again in the most hidden ways. So about 6 years now it was, isn't it? I got COVID, quite bad. I mean, I didn't die or anything, but loads of my body doesn't work properly now. And it took me the first four and a half years to be brave enough to leave my room or leave my house, because along with the COVID came this horrible mental health crash, mass social anxiety, like, and panic attacks and all the physical, such a visceral thing. And I'm in this body, I'm like, who is this person? People are not safe. I'm not going out there. There's too many people out there. And I'm like, what am I doing? Who am I become? All my life I've been about people and hosting, and like, I just love people. I'm so interested in everybody, and I want to know all your stories, and I want to speak prophetic blessing into you because it's just so wild. And yet, for 5 years, I couldn't bear the thought of even my own family. So it was hard. It was hard on them, apart from Phil, and eventually my own children I could deal with. But that was it. That was quite a long time, really, to be out of action. And that was such a dark time. And there was just this, in the whole collapse of everything, all the scaffolding that held me up all those years, it's like it was completely dismantled. And where I thought, oh, I've had prayer for that, I should be okay. Turns out, not really. But it's, again, the kindness of God, that the great allower who takes us not through these things to teach us something, because that's cruel, but he leads us through these things to show us his nature, to show us how very with us he actually is. And I've told this before, that in the worst of the worst, when I'm under my duvet and I'm having a lovely little dissociation, thank you very much, I'm not going out there, and I can't even remember what happy feels like or how to breathe properly. My lungs were hurting too much anyway, and breath prayers started to save my life. I've got nothing except I know I can breathe, and maybe blink. That's about all I've got energy for right now. But if I can breathe, that shows I'm alive, because he's in me. And I found his breath in my breath. And it's kept me alive in the times when I felt like I've been entering this quiet despair of being buried alive and disenchanted with Eve. Is there even any point to me? I know that may sound a bit dramatic now. But your mind does weird things when you're all out of regulation. And in the silence, it was so silent. Everything was so silent for years. And the silence at the heart of God is actually very full. It's full of the living word, as in Jesus. It's full of Jesus. The silences and the darknesses are so illuminated and amplified by the presence of Jesus, the actual word of our Creator. And the soul, it has to learn to hear in the silence. Not the silence as in an absence, but the silence of fullness. I love what you guys were saying this morning when we were praying, Kyle and Claire, about the spaces that we create. It's not to create an emptiness, but it's to make space for the fullness to be noticed. Because it's the mysteries that hold the reality together. God loves to draw us close. He draws himself near. He re-enchants our very souls, our breath, with awe and wonder. It's the beginning of it all for me, awe and wonder. So going to France, we deliberately put ourselves in the way of awe and wonder. For me, it's history and architecture and French stuff and and music and scenery and the food and all of that just makes me feel re-enchanted because it's the spark of awe and wonder in me. It's the when the Lord comes up and goes, you see that beautiful chateau over there? I did that for you. And in the midst of all your pain, suddenly you believe in life all over again. And suddenly you realise, oh, I think I'm beginning to learn how to be a human being. It transforms us so gently sometimes, so softly sometimes, so dramatically sometimes. I've had the dramatic stuff as well. And all that has been hard becomes an adventure of holy. It becomes the becoming. It seems to me it's all about not so much knowing stuff and believing stuff and behaving in a certain manner, but it's about becoming. Like, I love prayer and intercession and worship, but I love even more the notion of becoming prayer. So that my life gets to give away the Jesus I know. There's this brilliant, brilliant spoken word thing. I wish I could. You know, as a budding writer, I don't know about you, but have you ever thought, oh, I wish I'd written that? Or as a musician, you might say, oh, I wish I'd written that song. That's just the best. I wanted to write that song. Well, there's this line, Joshua Luke Smith, the spoken word poet, he's got a new thingy out on YouTube, and he says it's called, "The life you've always longed for is hidden in the life you have." Except I haven't got his growly, bearded voice to do it with. You have to listen to it on YouTube, look it up. It's brilliant, utterly brilliant, says everything I want to say in so few words. Anyway, if I could nick a line and say I wrote that, this is my life's work. The life you've always longed for is hidden in the life you have. The joy that you've always yearned for is actually hidden in the here and now. The hope that you've always thought was so elusive and really unrealistic, it's actually hidden in plain sight in the lives we have now. None of it's wasted. It's all part of our becoming. So may we have eyes to see, to notice. He's already here. And on the days like me when all you've got is I can just breathe and maybe blink, he's there, right there. It's all part of the life I've always wanted. Even in the dark, I wasn't lost. I was always home. It needs to be really dark so you can see more fully. One of the things we did, Phil, we got up at 2 a.m. when we were in France because the skies were so dark and there was a really good chance on these two particular nights you could see the Milky Way. He was so excited, get the camera out and everything. And the reason why it was possible, what I learned, was that, this is so interesting, is that when the moon is in its very, very last waning, day waning? It's the waning. I think it's the waning. When it's just that tiny sliver of moon left, in fact, it's practically gone, then it doesn't outshine the stars because the moon's like having a light on, so you can't see the stars as deeply as you could without the moon in the way. Oh, and so you need it to be really, really, really dark to see what the light actually looks like. And he got some photos and he was a happy bunny. But to deliberately position yourself in the darkest place without fear so that you can see what's really going on, what's really there, is a precious, holy place to be. A little uncomfortable as a metaphor for the stuff we go through, but it's all right. It's all right, it's gonna be okay. In the darkest darknesses, I could actually notice that spark of divine light that had been there all along. I was never abandoned, it may have felt like it, and life itself can look like it in the particularities of any one life. But that spark reveals what's truly real, that we're an expression of love. We really are, because I was like, I am so wrong. It's just that I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm broken. I'm wrong. What's the point of me? There isn't. What a big fat lie. Okay, we are an expression of love. If you're alive, it's because you've been created by love. And how beautiful are you? We're created by love and creativity itself. An expression of our creator who expresses his nature of creative goodness in all that he's created. And it that re-enchants my belief in the core value of my life. See, my core value, I learned from 3 years of EMDR therapy, thank you very much, was I don't exist and I shouldn't exist and I don't matter and no one likes you anyway. So there we are. That totally speaks to that value, and it's re-enchanting my story. I am restorying my own self through what I've been finding in the darkest place. And in my dark, I found myself being recreated, being made brand new, like a spark that tells us what it is to be human, made in the image of our creator. I'll give you a little example. So it's not always about, you know, kind of a spiritual moment, if you like, a traditional one. But for me, I hear the voice of God in music a lot as a musician. Well, many things, actually. A lot. Croissants also up there. And I was driving along in the car going to an appointment in this time. And a song came on my playlist that was really new and it hadn't got really big and popular there. And do you remember, any of you know the song? It's a Lauren Daigle song called You Say. And it was gone nuts. Everybody sings it everywhere, which is like, oh, I'm not singing that anymore. No, it's too big, too popular. But but before it was famous, it found its way to my playlist. I'm driving along in the car feeling like I don't feel like I'm alive here. I feel like a dead person that gets to walk around. And then this song came on and it was really good words. And then all it was that in the backing vocals, there's a bit goes, in between, you say I am strong, that bit, you know. And every time I heard that, of the backing vocals, it's like being in the ER room and then you've had a heart attack and you've got to get the paddle thingies and they go, clear, and your heart is reignited. That happened, like viscerally to me, when I heard the, don't ask me why, it's just out the blue, it got me, it was like a proper nose boop, that one. Whoa. And that was a spark in the dark. Did it make everything better? Well, no. It's still been years of recovery. I'm still in recovery, but it was such, it gave me the courage to let joy sit right up close to the mystery of darkness. There's so many more examples, I haven't got time. Maybe. No. I'm going to stop there because I'm going to do something a little off-piece. So I like to doodle and do that creative journaling thing. It's quite fun. This is when I write, I always illustrate for the fun of it, but just because I like doing it. I'm not saying I'm good at it, but I like doing it. I like the process of hand-to-eye movement, hand-to-eye, the flow, and it seems to impress on my brain a little better than if I just type something and forget where I've typed it. Anyway, so I have my journal, which I call Sketchy Thinking and Hopeful Inking, because it's got like writing and doodles, and I find myself writing these kind of creative, imaginative, invocational things that I like to bring to the table when we have friends over for dinner and we have a little worship moment. So I thought, as we got, you know, the family around the table today, it would be lovely to just have a meander through our creative imagination into some stillness. And maybe you can find a little nose boop in all of this. We'll see. And then at the end, you could grab your guitar. That'd be grand. So just a little centering moment here. Claire did such a good job at the beginning, doing a big belly breath. Oh, yeah. But just do another one. Go on, treat yourself. The deepest, biggest, deepest belly breath of the day, right there. And as you exhale, here's what we're saying. Lord, here we come. Here we come, seeking you. And as we begin, just in this one moment, we bring our creative imagination, our willingness, our kind of inside sight, imperfect as it may be. Would you meet us here? in this breath of prayer. We're alive by the luminosity of your beauty, guided by the pull of your invitation and the resonance of divine goodness that hums in our very molecules. The thresholds of encounter that each of our senses were made for. Your voice is our delight, surprising us in all that is ordinary, in what we see and hear and sense. As always, we find that we are held in the comfort and protection and safety of your presence. We're the ones that are held. And if there is treasure and beauty here that you have for us to find, help us notice it in our distracted, dismantled world. God have mercy. Christ have mercy. God have mercy. Amen. Let whatever you have come from settle. You can bring it all of it. It all matters. Whatever you've come from, let it settle. The work, the noise, the hurry, and right in this one moment, you don't need to carry it. Lay it down. Just let it rest where it is, just for a while. Just for a while. Take a slow breath. Keep taking those breaths, the kind that reaches the bottom of your lungs and then fills the belly and takes its time. And another one, and another one, not performing, just breathing the most ordinary prayer there is, air given, air received, air returned. On those moments when all you can do today is breathe and maybe blink, may you notice all the ways that you are being held by creative, beautiful, hilarious sometimes, mysterious, enigmatic love. You are safe. And in whatever stretches you or demands from you, makes you feel frail, you still have strength. The quiet truth of being here in this body, in this one moment, you are safe, you are held. And the Christ who has come that you might have life in all its true beauty and abundance, who reveals the good Father who likes you, the great Spirit who made it all and holds it all, the same Christ who holds you now. And when you're ready, when you're ready, when you're ready, you can come and look into his eyes and see. There isn't any blame. There's no finger wagging in your face. There's no, well, you did make a dumb decision that time, right? Oh, well, I'm doing this to teach you a lesson. There's none of that. There's none of that. There's only compassion. There's only his story, retelling your story that reflects his glory. Turns out he's all we need. And his shows up in a bajillion different ways, hidden in plain sight, in the ordinary, in the sanctuary, and in the mystery. I'm just going to spend a little moment to respond. This is my vocal breath prayers, like my go-to when I'm at the piano. In you is all I need. You're my breath, you're my life, you're my everything. Mm-hmm.
You're my life, you're my everything. In you is all I need. You're my breath, you're my life, you're my everything. In you, sing it with me if you want. Is all I need. You're my breath, you're my life, you're my everything. You're my life, you're my everything. In you is all I need. You're my breath, you're my life, you're my a spark in the dark. Maybe that's what joy actually looks like, that stubborn, defiant insistence that our unfinished lives are still held in love. And here's my final blessing. Keep going, it's quiet. Lovely. So, beautiful ones, here's my blessing for you today, for living meaningful but unfinished lives. Blessed are we who see the impossibility of solving this absurd and insultingly short life, because it can't be done. God, there are lists on lists and errands on errands, a taste like tin in my mouth at the unfinishedness of my life. Am I counting items instead of what counts? God, help me live here, seeing the whole truth of what is. Blessed are we who walk towards the discomfort, bringing what gifts we have and our sufferings too, whether of illness or loss or grief or betrayal or confusion or just simply powerlessness. Blessed are we who scooch up so close that we can whisper our loves, our fears, and all that feels too heavy to carry alone. All that we wish we could hold on to for longer, but no, we can't. Show me what I love. Show me what I never want to lose. And show me what I no longer need to have to carry in this beautiful, limited life. Amen.